You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
God's good. God is good. So, who's ready for the sermon? We're going to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. While you find that, I'm preaching from the NIV today. I always use the NIV or the ESV. They're both really good translations. Very accurate and really easy for you to understand. So if you don't have a Bible, A, we can give you one out there. B, you can go buy one somewhere. An NIV or an ESV will be really good for you. And you should buy one for a friend while you're at it. Sound good? Who's got John chapter 15 open and ready to go? Good. I am the vine. Excuse me. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Why, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Would you close your eyes, reach out your hands, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for this great church. Every time that we come together, it's like you take something and chip something destructive off our lives and add something wonderful to our lives. And we love your presence and we love your word, and we ask you today to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to inspire us deep in our hearts and souls in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Fantastic. Last week I told you that this week I'm going to preach on worship and God's presence, which go hand in hand, and we will get to that, but first I want to take a detour. This whole month we're preaching off topic, no sermon series, and as you know, we can go anywhere when we're preaching off topic, but today in my off topic, I'm going to go off topic within the off topic, if that's all right. just for a minute, all right? And I'm going to hope I can bring it back, all right? But I want to go back there to verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Brandon, you are already clean. You are already clean. You are already clean. Why? Because of the word that he has spoken to you. Because you stood in his presence, you looked him in the eyes, and he looked at you and said, you are clean. That's it. Not because your wife said you're clean. Not because your dad said you're clean. Not because your mom said you're clean. Not because your friend said you're clean. Not because you did something or changed something or read a book. But because Jesus looked at you and said, you're clean. That's it. That's it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else makes you clean. It is Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that makes you clean. Amen. See, I don't want to find my identity in what my wife says I am. Oh, I love my wife. She's amazing. Have you met her? She's amazing, all right? But I want to tell you, sometimes she thinks I'm an idiot. I don't know why. No idea at all. But so she doesn't come out and say it. She's way too sweet for that. She's come a bit Iowa, you know. Look at me like this. In her face, all I can read is, you're so handsome. And in her head, she's saying, you're an idiot and I want to stab you. See, I don't want to find my identity in what my wife says about me or thinks about me. Hey, she's great, but she's not God. Sometimes my behavior changes what she thinks about me. See, I don't want to find my identity in what my staff think about me. I don't want to find my identity in even what you think about me. My identity comes from him. And whether or not I'm worthy, and whether or not I'm clean, and whether or not I'm righteous and holy, whether or not any of that is true, I'm going to find that in him. And you know what? I stood in his presence. He looked me in the eyes and he said, Jesse, you're clean. And right here he says, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Church, when you stand in the presence of God, he said, you are clean. So you are not the one that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. You're already clean. You are fruit. You're either bearing fruit or you will bear fruit. And in his presence, that's where we're made clean. It is his power that keeps making all things new. Amen. People need to be reminded of this time and time again. He is making all things new. Not your behavior. Not your spreadsheet. Not your box ticking. Not effort. Not status. Not history. His presence. His power. You need to remember that and write it in your heart. See, I am not what they say I am. I am who he says I am. Amen. He says I am not what they say that I was. I am not what I used to be. I'm not even what I am doing now. I'm not even what I was doing yesterday. I am who he says I am. Come on, all I need is God's help. God, help me to live in the supernatural reality that you have set me free. Amen. It is for freedom that he has set us free. He didn't set us free so we can get down, bogged down in all the things we're doing wrong. He set you free and you are clean. Come on, that's good. Touch your neighbor and say, praise God in here. That's good. So anyway, worship. Need to take a drink break. I'm always excited about worshiping God. Like, I love it. I'm always excited about God's presence. I love being in God's presence. Anybody else in this place, come on, love being in God's presence. I love being in God's presence. And so I love to worship God. Because worship invites his presence in a tangible and powerful way. See, you know, there's a difference between God being everywhere and God being here. See, in Scripture tells us that God is everywhere. But then he says, I am here. And see, when he's everywhere, he's there. His presence is there. But when he says, I am here, his power is here. His tangible presence is here. His life-changing presence is here. There's a difference between I am everywhere and I am here. Have you ever walked in the doors of some place and just immediately felt like you're home? Never had that experience? It's cool, isn't it? Like, it's not your house, but you walk in and you feel at home. Like, if I go to Brandon's house, I just feel at home. Like, I'm going to open his fridge for sure. If I go to Brandon's house, I'm not going to bother Aaron asking where the glass... I'd ask Brandon, but he wouldn't know. I'm not going to bother asking Aaron where the glasses are in that house and what they've got to drink. I'm going to grab a glass, open that fridge, sit down and drink whatever I can find. Probably milk. I just love milk, all right? I go to everyone's house and I steal their milk. I love it, right? I'm going to open that fridge up. I'm going to take that milk, sit down by their fire and start talking to them about Jesus. Come on now. When I walk into the McNace's house, I feel at home. I do. I just feel like I'm at home. And it's amazing. Have you ever done that? A lot of people have told me that they walked in here. Probably 1,000 people have walked in this place. They've seen the words welcome home, but then they've walked through the doors and they've felt immediately like they just walked home. Have you ever had that feeling? Come on, have you ever had that feeling? Wave at me, yeah? Yeah, I love that feeling. And so when I am somewhere that feels home, I make myself at home and I want to be there. You know, heaven is full all the time of God's praise. Scripture says that angels declare the glory and the wonder of God all the time. And it's a loud praise and it's a passionate praise. And the angels in heaven, heavenly hosts, Scripture says, are declaring the wonder and the glory of God all the time. And so when we hear passionately worship him, it feels like heaven to God. And all the power of heaven comes to fill this space that we made to worship him. Praise and worship creates an environment that God feels at home and wants to stay here. That's why we praise and worship. That's why Scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. It feels like heaven. It feels like home. And so he comes in a tangible and a powerful way to move in our lives. Now, I know that worship is also about our lifestyle. I know that we live a lifestyle of worship. We want to live a life that honors God. Anybody else? We want to live a life that worships God. We want to live a life where we're not what we used to be, but we're on our way to what He created us to be. We're getting better, chipping things off. We want to live a life that honors God and worships God. And I want to live a life of worship. And I believe in this world that every problem we encounter is a worship problem. I really do mean that. Every problem that we encounter, I believe, is a worship problem. When we worship things above or elevate things to a worship level, we end up not only in sin, but pain and hurt and grief. If you worship sex, you know what you're going to get? A broken marriage, unfaithfulness, pain, hurt, and grief. See, Scripture says not to worship any created thing, but to worship the Creator of the things. See, if you fall in love with a thing, like a golden cow, you're worshiping something created by the Creator. Something that's got none of the power of the Creator. It's an inanimate object, but God says we should worship the Creator of all things. See, if you look at our world worships sex and the body, male and female, and so now we experience all kinds of societal issues, struggles, pains, drawn directly from that worship problem, don't we? Did I just get too real up in here? Is that all right? We do, don't we? And we have problems everywhere. Why do we have all, you read the media lately, all of this comes because people have had a worship problem somewhere. But the way to fix it is not by pointing your finger at yourself and condemning yourself. It's absolutely not by me pointing it at you and condemning you. What we got to do is fill the space. Y'all hearing this? What we got to do is fill the space. Fill the space with true worship, with lovely worship, with strong and mighty worship. Fill the space with the presence of God and make it impossible for these other things to live there anymore. Scripture says that light and dark can't live in the one body forever, not because the light runs away, but because darkness runs away at the presence of the light. If you fill your space with worship, if you stop focusing on the issue, if you stop focusing on the problem, which is still elevating it higher than it ever should have been, and start to focus on Jesus and fill your life with worship and fill your heart with the presence of God, it is not Jesus who dies and runs away when he sees sin and pain and wrong. It is the idol that dies when it runs into the real thing, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. So the answer is not to focus on what's wrong, but to fill your space with praise and worship and invite in the presence of God. And that's why at Eternity Church we're so obsessed with worship, because it drives out the darkness and brings in the light. Amen. For the rest of this sermon, I want to talk to you about what we call corporate worship and why we do it here and what it does. It's exciting. Have you ever wondered why God kept sending, or why Israel on God's command kept sending worshipers out the front in battles? All the time, let's send worshipers out the front. Man, it's because the worship is a bigger weapon than any sword, than any attitude, than any strategy that you could ever get. God gives these guys these strange and these weird plans, like march around a building and say nothing and then praise him in the end, and then somehow you'll get a breakthrough. Worship brings power, church. Worship brings the presence of God. Worship brings victory, amen? So here we worship together. Because Scripture says that when we are together, he's here all the more. Remember, there's a difference between I am everywhere, which we know, and yet in Scripture he still says where two or three are together, I am there, in that specific spot. See, when we worship, when we are together, Scripture says that he's there all the more. His presence is stronger, his power is greater. It's important to worship God together because where we are unified, God commands a blessing. I want to share four scriptures with you real fast to tell you why we're obsessed with worship at this church and why our services have like four songs and we all have the same words and we're just crying out to God. I want to share four scriptures that'll encourage you. You ready? One, Where there are two or three are gathered, there I am with them. Two, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Three, draw near to God and he draws near to you. Four, God inhabits the praises of his people. Where we are together, his presence and his power is greater because of unity, because of desire, because we're together and because of our praise, church. So just like in Scripture, where the praise parties were big parties, they were loud. They were not ashamed. They were strong. They were passionate. They showed the world, hey, world, we're with him. We're with him. That's who we came here with today. And so when Israel sends the armies out in front of them, worshiping before a battle, the enemy starts to lose. But then there's other times where the enemy just heard the noises and all just turned on each other and died. Why? Because the enemy has gotten used to the fear that comes when people worship and praise God. And so when we worship and praise God, like in Scripture, with a loud and a passionate, unashamed voices, hearts, instruments, whatever it is, the enemy starts to freak out. I want to have a place like this where we worship God so unashamed, so unabashed, that when the devil's doing something on the other side of the world, he can hear us and he starts to freak out. Freaking out. I love worship. It could also be called freaking out the devil. Someone make a shirt. And so we praise him unashamed, loud, passionate, together every week, and we won't make excuses for it. Oh, we're not making excuses for it. If they can't hear us, at least if the closest house to our church can't hear us, I think we need more people and louder voices. Come on now. Somebody's got to hear what God's doing in here. And God doesn't just say that he will bless us when we stand here together and worship. It is commanded. See, if the captain of a ship says, hey, if you do this, you know, if you go over there and you wash that wall, I'll give you $100, right? Well, then you gotta go find him. But it's more like the captain writing an order that everybody's aware of. That if you do this, it's commanded that I'll bless you. And so you know what? With us, when we worship him together in unity, it's not a maybe, it's not a hopefully, it's not an idea, it's not a point. It's a command. The world is commanded to bless us when we stand together in unity. I want to tell you about Reset Day, all right? Reset Day is a day that we do every single week at the Newman House. And if you ask our kids what we have to do every Saturday morning, they'll look at you and they'll say, Reset Day. It's where we take a few hours, about 3.5 hours, depending on the kids' motivation levels. And every person has jobs to do, right? They all have to clean their rooms, even Zoe. It's adorable. I love watching her clean her room because she's like, this one, Daddy, and she pops it in there, and she blinks her eyes at you, hoping that it'll end soon, and I try to let her off, but my wife is like, don't let her manipulate you, so she finishes her room, and Charlie does his room, and Judah and Eli do their room, they share a room, they all clean up their rooms, all right, then Charlie also packs up the toys in the rumpus room, which last night I found out y'all call the toy room, or the games room, okay? So Charlie cleans up the rumpus room. That's his job. Judah, he cleans his bathroom, the bathroom that he and Eli and Charlie share. And who knows, you don't ever want to walk into that room, right? No way, no how. Three boys and little boys in one bathroom with no aiming devices. So he cleans that bathroom and vacuums his and Eli's room, right? And then Eli, he cleans the bathroom on the main level, all right? Yeah, we have way too many bathrooms, all right? And Zoe, she just cleans her room because she's adorable and that's all she has to do at this point, all right? And so everybody does that every Saturday morning, all right? Now, during the week, they go psycho. I have 5 kids and they're all psycho. Henry is beginning to exhibit psycho behaviors as well. He's 5 months old. Their toys go everywhere. Their rooms turn into a hot and nasty mess. And we do spot cleans every day, you know. If it's on the main level, pick it up, put it in your room, pick it up, take it away, rah, 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 you know, and we instruct the kids to do the same, and, you know, and we do dishes every day, and we pick things up every day, but Lauren and I sometimes get frazzled by the mess, all right, during the week, you know. It still can get a bit messy, and we get frazzled by it, and we're like, nah, I just wish I could see the floor or a wall. Something would be nice, but we know reset day is coming. Reset day is on its way. We'll be able to see the floor in 2 days, honey. Don't kill him just yet. But if we don't do reset day, it doesn't take very long for the home to turn from messy to filthy and dirty. Right? You miss reset day once, it might only be a week where our home goes from messy to filthy to dirty to Ebola everywhere, all right? It doesn't take long. Church, I want you to know, it's exactly the same with your soul. Your soul. See, your soul needs reset day. And guess what? For you, that's today. Congratulations. That's today. This is reset day. Now, I know that, yes, during the week you pray and you read your Bible, and that's absolutely wonderful. It's a spot clean and it's amazing and I love it. But you need the power clean. You need the power fix. You need that commanded blessing when the church comes together and lift up the name of Jesus Christ to get reset to back where you're supposed to be. And that, my friends, is today. See, you might have lost your job, but reset day is coming. You might have lost a pet, but reset day is coming. You might have lost some money in a bad investment or just lost your wallet. Reset day is coming. You might have been full of rage, but reset day is coming. You might have got bad news or a bad report from the doctor, but reset day is on its way, amen. No matter what happens this week, reset day comes next week. No matter what happens to you, reset day is coming. Praise Him. Come on, you need to praise Him in this place, because no matter what you do, no matter what you said, no matter where you go, reset day is coming back, amen. That's why you need to give Him some praise in this place. See, reset day stops us going too far, because we do wander, don't we? See, we wander. Some of us wander every week, and the rest of us wander every day. But we created a routine of worship to anchor us to the place that we need to get back to. And that's what we do here every single weekend. And that's why we have to do it. That's why we value responsive worship, honest worship, real worship, raw, open, truth-filled worship right here in church. During the week, we do our spot cleans. We worship the Lord. We throw on some Hillsong. We do it all, and it's wonderful. It's amazing, and it gets us through. But there's a commanded blessing that comes when we worship God together right here. And I love the raw worship of this place. You see, I believe that way too many churches, God bless them, their hearts are in the right place. They love Jesus and they want to honor Him. But in way too many places, it seems like there's sin and filth all down on the inside, and it's masked with this false and fake righteousness around the outside. And that's not what we are here. We're just honest and open and real. And when we got saved, Jesus Christ looked at us and said, "You're clean," and deposited righteousness in our hearts. And so in our church, and it's true for the other ones too, some of them just don't know it yet, that the real them, the true them, the real honest them is righteousness. Deep down on the inside of every believer is a righteous heart. Sometimes it's covered and masked by sin. Sometimes it's covered and masked by bad attitudes. But we come to church being honest and open, and those things are on the outside for everybody to see, so we can open up the true heart and worship God here in church. Amen. See, we don't want to be the church that pretends we're righteous, because we are righteous. We pretend we're sinful sometimes. That's what God does in our hearts. Amen. Did that make sense? Praise God. You are righteous. That's what's hidden on the inside. The rest of it, the struggle, the pain, the sin, that's the lie. You are what He says you are. Praise God. We value responsive worship, honest, real, open worship. We value responsive crowds in sermons, don't we? Unity and God's commanded blessing is also why we value response in sermons. It's why we say it every single week. You know what? When you're in church and you respond to the sermon, you can make a boring sermon good. Seriously. Hey, look, I'm telling you right now, one day it'll be me, or it'll be Brandon, or it'll be Jed, or it'll be all of us. We will preach boring sermons sometimes. It's what we'll do. Now, they'll be true, they'll be honest, and it'll be godly, but we might present it in a boring way one day. But even a boring sermon will bless your heart if you're unified in it. You can make my sermons better. That's right. I could preach a boring sermon, and you can bring a bigger blessing by being responsive and agreeing with what we're saying about our God. You know that? You yell out an amen, and all of a sudden my boring sermon blessed you. You walk home and you're like, that was a boring sermon. Why do I feel so blessed? Because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Amen? Come on, help me preach, church. Help me preach. That's what we do here and why we do it. But there's one more real exciting thing about the presence of God. See, since worship invites His presence, we've established that, right? Y'all agree now? Give me a wave if you're feeling what I'm saying, if you're catching what I'm throwing. Fantastic. See, worship invites His presence. But He does something else for you. Worship begins to transform us from what we were to what He created us to be. See, I know that might sound a little weird, maybe even a little odd, like transform. I'm not a shapeshifter. I'm not some alien thing. But what I'm saying is that if you have issues, it is in His presence that they begin to go away. If you have sin, if you're addicted to sin, it's in His presence that they don't merely go away by your own strength, but by His power and His presence, you're transformed. You see, and even if that didn't happen in His presence, at least your true self is coming out. Right? At least there's a moment where the righteous you is on display. Where the glorious and the clean you is on display. So even if that wasn't true, but praise God it is. Praise God, it is true that you will be transformed, not just inside, but outside as well. Praise God. As you know, at Eternity Church, we strongly believe that it is the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of their sin. It is the Holy Spirit that will tell you if there's something destructive or sinful in your life. And at that time, He will give you the power and the strength for the journey. We will not be the church that comes up and goes, "Hey, yo, stop doing that." Hey, you, we're not even going to be the church that goes up to the hooker and says, "You, stop hooking." We're not going to do that. We don't even want you to say that to them. The Holy Spirit will talk to them when the Holy Spirit has softened their heart and prepared their heart for that kind of life-changing moment. And then He'll give them the power. And then He'll give them the income. And then He'll give them the life that can be transformed. Amen. And so it's not our job to change people. It's our job to create an environment where they can come into the presence of God, reveal their true self, who God says they are, and slowly become that on the outside too. And since we are a church that does not point to you and tell you what we think is wrong with you and what you need to do to fix it, we think it is especially important to us that people still have the opportunity to get fixed and to get better and to get healthy, to change the destructive things in their lives, and that happens in His presence. The second you meet Jesus, God says, you are clean. I see this perfect and wonderful person because I see the inside, not the outside, not the layers. Because remember, right at the start, as I said, it is Jesus who decides you are clean. Well, church, it is His presence that makes it true on the outside like it is on the inside. And so we make sure that every single week we have reset day. Worship day, we create space for you and Jesus to hang and bring our hearts back, bring our attention back, our desires back, our focus back in line with the things of God. You see, some days I just am so stinking angry. And I don't mean like righteous anger, I get that too. But some days I'm like more like, you know, Lego in my shoe all day kind of angry, right? Like some days I just have a day where I'm like, everybody everywhere is the devil and I want to stab them all. Is that really weird to say? Come on, hands up if you know it's true for you sometimes too. Come on, let's be honest in here. Sometimes everyone's the devil and you want them gone, right? Like sometimes people just get in your way. Life'd be so much easier without them, but so much more boring. And so when I'm having those days, I've got to remind myself to take a moment to worship. Speaking of worship, can I have the worship team back up here? For me, I'll throw on a Hillsong CD and some headphones, and I'll just worship. No one else can hear it. They can hear me. I'm like, that's a weird dude. I'm like, what's he doing? Who knows? He must be worshiping God. I feel something different about this place, right? Or I go for a drive and I worship. I have been known to occasionally, you know, be busting out at a traffic light and look over and someone definitely thinks I'm strange. I just go and worship, right? When I'm having a bad day, I go and worship. On Monday, little Zoe, my little princess, I've got 5 kids and only 1 girl. And so little Zoe, she's a princess, she's a darling. She's 2.5. And she was on the couch in the other room watching Frozen. And Lauren and I were in the other room watching Luther. And I'm not recommending you watch that show. He's a crazy smart, but kind of a wee bit deranged copper in England, all right? And yes, we were ignoring our 5 children for 45 minutes. We could snuggle on the couch and watch TV. And at this moment, right, Zoe and the kids have been just going psycho Billy Ninja and they wouldn't leave us alone. So I'm like, we got to crank up this Frozen movie real loud. So she's like just encased in the volume and the atmosphere of Frozen so that we can get away for a bit, all right? And so on the couch, we're watching Luther. He's had a big fight. He's punching somebody up and getting beaten up as well. And then he starts by himself. He's walking down a dark alley. It's creepy. They've got that little bit of mood, that music on, you know, where it's like, you know, the music where you know somebody's gonna die right now, you know, like it's just scary and the music is going and it's dark and stuff. But in the other room, so loud we can hear, let it go, let it go, la la la. And it's just beautiful and it just didn't fit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is so creepy, but it's like so lovely and so beautiful at the same time. It was confusing our hearts. It was confusing our senses and emotions. We didn't know what to do with it. It just didn't work. And that's what I think worship does in the middle of your crazy. See, when your life has gone crazy and you're super angry and you want to beat somebody up, come on, or you want to just say some things to them that you just really want to say, but then you get into worship and you let it go and something else comes over you, and even though you should be feeling creeped out or scared or angry or whatever else because of the situation, and that's how you should be feeling, it's not how you're feeling anymore, because it's really hard to spend 10 or 15 or 20 minutes worshiping God, getting a spot clean and walk away and still want to beat someone up straight away. It's really hard to do that, isn't it? And so you got to start your day with worship. Life 107.1 FM. I'm on there at the moment. I'm doing these like little, I think it's like 2 minute clips, Christ in my life. Go listen to that. Start your day with worship. End your day with worship. Fill your car with worship, especially on those days. Tell Alexa to fill your house with Hillsong all day, every day, and she will. Think about God's power. Think about God's goodness. Overpower the crazy of the world with the power of God. Amen. Just think on those things. See, the act of worship is just being in a space with God. Bringing our focus back on Him and why He's good. We create space and we invite God to fill it. A few months ago, before we had our Saturday night service, I was stressing out about a few things. Not too bad, but enough to stress me out. Nobody could really tell except, I guess, my wife and kids, because it's funny how our favorite people on the planet are the ones we unleash our frustration on the most, isn't it, right? We got to ask God to help us not do that. But one thing went wrong after another. And I'm like, are you for real? You know, just people being people. Some people don't do things. Other people do dumb things. And some things that you plan on happening don't happen. And it was just one of those weeks where it was just all going like that. And I knew I need to stop. So I stopped and I spent some time with God at the start of the week. And it really did make things better for a while. And I started doing that every day that week, just stop and spend a moment with God. But then by the end of the week, things got real rough again. I was getting bad phone calls, lack of sleep, frustration everywhere. And I'd stopped spending time with God, maybe because I was tired and not thinking enough about it. Or maybe it was because I was out of routine and not working out in the morning that week or whatever it was. But I was a mess, a tired and frustrated mess. I didn't even have my sermon finished till late Saturday night. Now that freaks me out. So finally I got to church on Sunday, unimpressed, but having to talk to you. Well, not you, the person sitting next to you. It's very rare for me, honestly, to get to church and not want to preach. But that day I had a great sermon written, but I didn't have a, you know, I wasn't there, you know. I was just, these people, you know. So when worship started, right at the start, 9 o'clock, I pressed in worship. I knew I needed it, and I was like, man, God, I'm desperate for you. I definitely can't preach your sermon if you don't come and help me right now. So I pressed in, and I want to tell you right now, that was like a wrecking ball to my bad week. Spending time in His presence when I could was great, and it got me through a bad week. But that Sunday praise and worship experience with my fellow believers, where His power came down, where He commanded a blessing, that was the wrecking ball. That was the reset point. That was the bit that made the next week start fresh. And I want to encourage you, church, as you stand up and praise God, to bring a wrecking ball every single week. If you want to live a blessed life, Scripture says, do not forsake gathering together with the believers. Church, I don't come to worship God. I don't come to church to worship God only. I do that all week. You know why I come to church? I come to worship God with you. I come to worship God with you and with you. I come here together to worship God, to stand in His presence, in His commanded blessing, invite the presence and the power of God in a tangible way to bring a wrecking ball to my bad week if I had one, or to bless it if it was a good one. So church, if you're in a low spot, you need to praise and worship. If you're in a struggle, you need to praise and worship. But church, if you're in a good spot, come on, bring the wrecking ball to someone else's bad week. Bring that commanded blessing into my life. If you're doing real well, then bring that commanded blessing into Brandon's life. Bring it into Deanna's life. Come on, bring that commanded blessing, church. Amen. Come on, church, if you believe it, give the Lord a shout of praise and invite His presence. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.